Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
7:39 coming up on 7:40 at 55 KRCD Talk Station. Brian Thomas here with Alex Tarantafilo, head of the Hamilton County Republican Party. Alex, I wish we had a more uplifting topic to talk about. We can talk about the man's life, and that was extremely uplifting. We're talking about the passing of Judge Norbert Nadel, who you refer to as Nick in your Facebook posts. Welcome back, Alex. It's great to have you on.
Brian, it's always good to be with you, and I agree. We've been together on better circumstances. But, you know, Judge Nadel lived the kind of life that's to be celebrated. And
yeah.
For that reason, I was honored that Joe invited me on today to talk about my old pal, Judge Nadel.
Wow. And you see, your old pal, he was very, very well connected. He had lots and lots of friends, and he would show up everywhere. And, of course, he lived a really good, long, prosperous life. He passed after a short illness at the age of 82, so... That's honestly, from my perspective, that's not too shabby, Alex.
That's pretty good. There's no question about it. And, you know, more importantly, Judge Nadel lived a real life of consequence, Brian. You know, he made an impact on a lot of different people. And you see it in the last, you know, 24 hours here on social media and the outpouring of support from people in our local courthouse. You know, I was honored to serve as a Court of Common Pleas judge with him. You know, I sat once on a three-judge panel, which is a little wrinkle in Ohio law, Brian, where on capital death cases, one can opt for three judges to hear your case at the trial level, something that we know happens at the appellate level,
right,
but not at the trial level. And, you know, I sat with Judge Nadel once, and it was just a highlight for me as a young judge, frankly, to be able to sit with him and learned a lot. You know, one of the things I can say now that I remember is sitting up on the bench, you know, right behind his nameplate was a little sign, and it said, "Be patient." And it was just a good reminder to himself to be patient with the people that were in front of him, and something that he followed. That's advice he followed. You know, you always got a kind smile and a warm reception when you went into Judge Nadel's courtroom. It was a place you didn't care. And again, I've spent the last 13 years here in private practice as a lawyer, and you know, always enjoyed going in there anytime I had a case, because you were going to be received warmly by the judge. So lots of good things, Brian, to say about Judge Nadel today.
And from all accounts, not biased. I mean, you know, we all worry about judges and their Republican bias or their Democrat bias or their liberal or their conservatism. I mean, I think you would characterize him as a conservative jurist insofar as, like, interpreting the law. He wasn't exactly an activist, but he was objective with regard to the parties that were appearing in front of him on the case.
Oh, there's no question about it. And, you know, one of his sayings that, again, everyone in the courthouse knows is if he didn't like a criminal case that was brought that he thought was, you know, not meriting criminal prosecution, he would say that case is a jack. And what he meant is, you know, gosh, this isn't the world's strongest criminal case. Well, you know, you would expect a law and order Republican to not have that attitude. But he did. If he thought it was, you know, if he thought the case was, weak, he wasn't afraid to tell the prosecution that. And again, if you were a dangerous criminal, you know, he wasn't afraid to put you away. He had a really good barometer for that kind of thing. And, you know, Brian, that's kind of what we want from our judges.
It is.
That independent thinking. And he was very good about that.
Well, let's face it. I mean, you could say that strikes at the heart of his conservative, at least fiscal conservative values. He wasn't about to let the taxpayer dollars be wasted on a case that wasn't going to be prosecutable. I mean, that's just him telling it like it is, which he always did.
Well, he did. And you know, one of the things, again, as I'm remembering him, once he left the bench, you know, judges are apolitical. They can't endorse other candidates. And, you know, they really don't even run with Republican or Democrat next to their name. But, you know, they can be endorsed by the party. He was a longtime Republican-endorsed judge. But when he left, you know, he joined the ranks of the politician, so to speak, as an elected office holder, as recorder. And that's when, you know, you really saw his conservative nature. He was a taxpayer watchdog. He was critical of some of these levies that would come down the pike and never afraid to call it out when he thought that your tax dollars were being wasted. Very, very strong in that regard. And I really enjoyed him as a Republican leader here. He was always a friend. You know, he was a contributor to the cause financially, something, of course, we always valued, to have people on our team supporting our efforts financially. And he was also just a go-to person for anything that the Republican Party ever needed. So, again, he was a character, Brian, he really was. And from the blue robe down to his sayings, some of which I've already repeated here, he was part of what makes our community great. And again, it's wonderful to celebrate his life, even though we mourn the passing of him, because he was just a wonderful guy.
Well, we'll pause. I along those lines, as we go into the break here, Alex, I've got a couple of questions to ask you, and particularly his most famous case, of course, was the Pete Rose case. It's 7:49 right now, 55 KRCD Talk Station. A very, very happy Monday to you, with the exception of what we're talking about today, is the passing of Judge Nadel. Yes, Judge Norton Nadel, 3 decades on the Common Pleas Court bench. Of course, Hamilton County Recorder was his last position, elected capacity. My understanding is when he was a child, he actually kind of put himself through school, attended night classes at Chase Law School, and took over the retail business after his father died when he was in high school, which he ran while he attended college. Is that a story you're aware of, Alex Trantafilo? That was something I read in the Inquirer. I was not familiar with his past in that work career.
I read about that as well, just as you did, and frankly was unaware of that part of his history. But not surprised. Again, Brian, as you know, judges sometimes, not sometimes, they actually have to manage court operations. In addition to sitting and doing the things that you typically think a judge does, listening to cases, they also have an administrative side. And when he was the administrative judge, running the courthouse, he ran it like a business. So none of that surprises me. And, he was a guy, by the way, when the rash of improvements came to the courthouse to remodel courtrooms, et cetera, Judge Nadel said, no thanks, no taxpayer money on my courtroom. And really, until the very end, his courtroom remained one of the courtrooms that was still, in its original form from, the 30s, 40s, and 50s probably. And, coat of paint here and there, of course, but never the massive remodel. And not that there's anything wrong with the remodeling that's been done. Some of it's necessary, but right. He was the guy who pushed back on that. He was very, very fiscally conscious and conservative. By the way, Brian, even in a time when Republicans were darn near shoo-ins to win these spots, he lived it out. He lived out his conservative mind frame there, even as a judge on the administrative side.
Are you familiar with any case that he presided over that was more famous than the Pete Rose decision? I mean, I remember when he read that decision on a Sunday from his chambers. Highly unusual that, but that I honestly would have to say that was typical Norbert Nadel right there.
Well, yeah, that case, I think I might have been in high school then, so I remember it sort of in the news. But I'll tell you, the most recent case, of course, was his handling of the Tracy Hunter case, which, is a little bit more, the media is not writing about that as much because it's pretty divisive, not because of him, because of her, by the way. But, yeah, the Tracy Hunter matter, many people recall she was a juvenile court judge who was ultimately indicted for some potential criminal activity there. And he managed that, again, with just great level-headed good nature. He was being attacked routinely by her supporters, accusations of racism thrown at him. And he smiled his way through all of it and did his job. And the jury ultimately decided on the one count that she was guilty. They hung on the other two counts, which is going to happen. But Judge Nadel handled that with great dignity. And his rulings along the way were all upheld on appeal. And, again, that's a famous case, maybe more recent to the memory than the Pete Rose incident. But, again, another example of the kind of jurist he was. And, Brian, I don't want to go too long here, but, the case I sat with him on was a horrific death penalty case involving a young boy who was raped and murdered, 3 years old, and awful. And ultimately, we did mete out the ultimate punishment, and he handled that. He was our presiding judge of the 3-judge panel. And, I just remember, again, his steadiness there. And Clyde Bennett, famous local defense attorney, defended the case. And so, again, I had up close and personal, sitting next to him, both in our robes, as he oversaw that case. So, lots of cases in his 30-plus year career that we could talk about, but those are just a couple.
Yeah, and he presided over death penalty cases. That's, I suppose, one of the perils of the job. But so he was in favor of the ultimate sentence then in that particular case.
Well, you know, Brian, as you know, I mean, as a judge, you got to enforce the law, even if you don't necessarily like or agree with it. That's something we part company with on the liberals, right? So yes. Death penalty is the law in Ohio, and you can't, as a judge, say, well, I'm just not going to enforce it. You know, you can't do that. So I don't really ever know what his personal opinion was about the death penalty, but if the facts and the law merited, if the aggravating circumstances outweigh the mitigating factors beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the legal standard, then you have to deliver the death penalty, something that he voted to do. And candidly, I did along with him in that case. So something that, obviously very memorable personally to me, but just part of what he did in a long career on the bench.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your stories with us and sort of celebrating the life of Norbert Nadel, which we're doing right now. Where did Nick come from, Alex?
You know, I saw at least somebody texted me and said, where did you come up with that? I'm like, look, when I got to know him, people inside called him Nick Nadel. Frankly, I called him Nick. I never asked how. Just kind of a nickname, I think. And someone else may know the ultimate beginning of how that started, but I never called the man, other than calling him Judge. But once I became his colleague on the bench, he was Nick Nadel to me and to lots of others, by the way.
That?
And I, when challenged about it yesterday, I thought, gosh, you know, I everyone I know called him Nick inside the courthouse. It was just kind of a nickname, I guess. And I hope I'm not offending anyone in his family.
No.
But that's just how we called him. So he was Nick Nadel to me, and when I saw him, that's how I greeted him, and never called him Norb or Norbert, just would call him either Judge or Nick. So, yeah.
Well, and in my experience was always he was referred to Judge. No one ever called him by his first name. So therein lies the mystery will continue. But it was certainly meant out of sort of affection or love, or just because you were told to call him and not because of anything, untoward or negative. Anyway, Alex Tarantafila, thank you a lot for your time today. I really appreciate it. It was nice sharing memories about the judge and remembering some great things he did. And again, his legacy continues insofar as all the mentoring he did and all the guidance he shared with younger lawyers and folks in the legal community. So his legacy will live on, I presume.
Well, I'm pleased to have had the opportunity, and I appreciate Joe Strecker inviting me on and you inviting me on, Brian, to talk about Judge Nadel. He was a great man, and our memories today, our thoughts are positive with him and his family. So thank you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.